Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 19 March 2024, Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Power Sutta, Miao Fa Lien Hua Jing. Okay, as usual, we gather for physical puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, Sada, Virya, and we shall commence the physical puja. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sư Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Bồ Tát. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo Mi Lo Phật. Namo Mi Lo Phật. Namo Mi Lo Phật. Namo Bồ Tát Bồ Tát. Namo Bồ Tát Bồ Tát. Namo Bồ Tát Bồ Tát. Namo Di Chang Bồ Tát. Namo Di Chang Bồ Tát. Namo Di Chang Bồ Tát. Namo Phật Bồ Tát. Namo Phật Bồ Tát. Namo Phật Bồ Tát. Arahang Sammasambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Suagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Suppatipanno Bhagavato Sawakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Okay, you all can now be seated. Then we'll continue our chanting from page 3. Then to page 3 of this chanting book, we shall continue from Padipa Puja. Gannasarappadithena dipena tamadansina tilokadipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Ganda sambarayutena dupenahang sugamhina पूयाये पूजानीयन्तं पूजाभजनमुत्तमं वर्णगन्धगुणोपेतम् एतं कुसुमसन्तति पूजयामि मुनिदास श्रीपादसरोरुहे पूजेमि बुद्धं कुसुमेनानेन पुण्येन मित्तेन च होतु मोक्षं रूपं मिलायति यथा इदं मे कायो तथा यति विलासभावम् आदिवासेषु नो वन्ते पानीयं परिकापितम् आनुकम्पाम् उपादाय पातिगं पातु मूर्धमान् आदिवासेषु नो वन्ते पाले परिकापितम् आनुकम्पाम् उपादाय पातिगं पातु मूर्धमान् आदिवासेषु नो वन्ते भोजनं परिकापितम् आनुकम्पाम् उपादाय पातिगं पातु मूर्धमान्। Now let us make our aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May
May
this
this
offering
offering
of
of
light
light to
to the
the Buddha
Buddha
bring
bring
forth
forth
the
the
causes
causes
and
and
conditions
conditions
to
to
illuminate
illuminate
our
our
mind
mind and
and help
help
arise
arise
the
the
needed
needed
clarity
clarity
and
and understanding
understanding to
to
dispel
dispel
all
all darkness
darkness or
or
ignorance
ignorance
there.
therein.
Significance of offering of water.
May
May
this
this
offering
offering
of
of pure,
clear,
clear,
cool
cool
water
water
lead
lead
us
us
to
to
the
the pure,
pure,
clear
clear Dharma
Dharma
that
that
cools
cools
and
and
doses
doses
of
of
the
the
fires
fires
of
of
all
all
defilements
defilements
within
within
our
our
mind.
mind.
Significance of offering of incense.
May
May our
our morality,
morality,
virtue,
virtue,
and
and understanding
understanding
shine
shine
forth
forth
far
far
and
and
wide,
wide,
just
just
like
like
the
the
fragrance
fragrance
of
of
this
this incense,
incense,
which
which we
we
are
are
offering
offering
to
to
the
the
Blessed
Blessed
One,
One,
which
which is
is perfect
perfect
in
in
wisdom
wisdom
and
and
virtue.
virtue.
Significance of offering of fruits. May
May
this
this
offering
offering
of
of
fruits
fruits
remind
remind
us
us
of
of
the
the
Dana
Dana
Parami
Parami
of
of
generosity
generosity
and
and
the
the
fruit
fruits
of
of
our
our
karma,
karma. So
so
that
that
we
we
will
will
diligently
diligently
strive
strive
on
on
with
with
heedfulness
heedfulness
to
to
attain
attain the
the
path
path
and
and
Krishna
Krishna
as
sooner
soon as
as
possible.
possible.
Significance of offering of flowers.
May
May
this
this constant
constant
offering
offering of
of
flowers
flowers
to
to
the
the
Blessed
Blessed One
One
strengthen
strengthen
our
our
faith
faith
and
and
constantly
constantly
remind
remind
us
us
of
of
the
the
impermanence,
impermanence of this body,
so
so
that
that
we
we
will
will
diligently
diligently
and
and sincerely
sincerely
strive
strive
on
on
to
to
cultivate
cultivate
Sila,
Sila,
Samadhi,
Samadhi,
and
and
Panya,
Panya,
leading
leading
to
to
ultimate
ultimate liberation,
liberation,
the
the
born
born-free
free Nibbana.
Nibbana.
Making our overall aspiration,
By
by
the
the
power
power
of
of all
all
these
these
merits
merits, born
born of
of
these
these offerings,
offerings, may
may
our
our
spiritual
spiritual
faculty
faculty
of
of
Sada,
Sada,
Virya,
Virya,
Sati,
Sati,
Samadhi,
Samadhi,
and
and
Panya
Panya be further
further
strengthened
strengthened
until
until
they
they
become
become
balance
balance
of
of
power.
powers. Sharing and transferring merits to all beings.
May
May
this
these
merit
merits
be
be
shared
shared
and
and transferred
transferred
to
to
all
all
beings
beings
without
without assumption,
exception,
especially
to
to
those
those
who
who
have
have
the
the
condition
condition
and
and
affinity
affinity
to
to
receive
receive
them.
them.
Sadhu,
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 sadhu.
sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Bhajan. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. So as usual, we are off the light so that you all can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. By now, I think most of you all must have had a very good grasp of what is awareness-based meditation. Most important is to stabilize the awareness nature within until you have the ability to be aware clearly inside, without thought arising. ability to stabilize the awareness nature for as long as you can is very important. So the training is just to maintain awareness for as long as you can to stabilize the awareness nature. Don't worry about understanding. Understanding will surface the moment you manage to realize the awareness nature and develop it until very stable. Then throughout the day, your mind will be in that state of awareness and be hardly any or very little thought going on. Most of the time, it is mindful aware, especially specific phenomenal awareness. And then when you are in a formal resting position or when you develop the formal meditation, even before you go to rest or sleep, that formal state of meditation, if you can continue to stabilize your awareness, is the best until your mind enters sati. Until later on, the awareness nature can move and detect a lot of things within your forming mind. Then you can move on the awareness to your heart area and develop the fourth support. Okay, I just summarize again. The four support to support you to develop this awareness-based meditation, they are relax, maintain awareness, and the third support is to stabilize the awareness. First, you just maintain awareness, make aware, finish. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just develop it. Then the maintenance of it is to continue to allow this awareness to stabilize. Means don't do anything, just maintain the awareness until it stabilizes. Once you can do that, you will progress. You will soon realize your true mind, your silent mind. And you will understand what I try to explain to you. How from there all things arise, starting with the mundane thinking, the mundane aggregates of mind. That's the reason why the Buddha said, our mind, that is the mundane mind, is the forerunner of all things, that mano. And mind arise, all things arise. So that thought process, that mundane thinking, is actually our psychological mind, or what we call thinking mind, mundane mind, mundane activity. When that one arises and active, you become lost in thought, you become heedless. But when you can train your awareness to be very stable, then you can understand what is going on within your forming mind. Instead of living from the thought process, becoming heedless throughout the day, you develop the training to be aware and transform back to heedful living. Means most of the time you are aware, mindful, until you can develop the stability of it to be ever mindful. Then use it to meditate, to develop wisdom, understanding, to insight into phenomena, to observe within the silent inner awareness, observe what is the reality. Then you will start to understand a lot of things. Who are you? What are you? And how you function as a human being. And how your mind actually arises and passes away, following the law of dependent origination, or what we call paticca samuppada. So all this, you can develop understanding. Okay, now I will set half an hour alarm so that you can continue to train your mind. So, like the word awareness-based meditation, this meditation is to train our mind to be aware and use it to develop understanding and wisdom. Use it to develop the meditative wisdom. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you develop for as long as you can. Okay, so now you turn to page 6 of the chanting book. Below the Buddha, invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamman Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhamma Sunan Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Sunan Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Sunan Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti peso Bhagava Arahan Samma Sambuddho Vija charana sampano sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati tatta deva manusana buddho bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanaiko pacatang veditabo venohiti supatipano bhagavato sawakasango uyupatipano bhagavato sawakasango Yaya patipano bhagavato sāvaka sangho Sāmiti patipano bhagavato sāvaka sangho Yadidam chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sāvaka sangho Ahuneyo, Ahuneyo, Dakineyo, Anjali Karaneyo, Anuttaram Punyam Ketang Lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can now be seated. Then maintain some more attention. Then we will continue from where we started. We are at this particular part of the stanza, page 35 of the new book. Volume 4, Chapter 3, Parable. Okay, here is mentioned for the sake of seeking the unsurpassed power. There are seven aspects to the adjectives unsurpassed as follow. So the first one is unsurpassed body. Second one is unsurpassed receiving and upholding. Then unsurpassed completeness. And unsurpassed wisdom, inconceivability. Six is unsurpassed liberation. Then the unsurpassed conduct. Okay, so now we will continue. Okay, we have, I think, just completed one of the right and universal knowledge. Then now we will read that part again before we continue. Right knowledge refers to the understanding that the mind gives rise to the mind right phenomena. So this one, very important understanding for those who wants to develop the understanding of the mind. So right knowledge means right view, or it refers to the understanding that the mind which gives rise to the mind right phenomena, that is the mundane mind. And the mundane mind is a product of our true mind. So universal knowledge refers to the understanding that this mind right phenomenon arises from that true mind. So it is said, the Buddha taught all Dhamma in response to the minds of living beings. In the absence of mind, what use would Dhamma be? So this is very true, like we have gone through earlier on at the Thursday class. We talk about the three period of time. We try to develop understanding of existence. What is existence? Existence is time related. To go through existence is to go through life. And to go through life is to go through time. So existence and time are related. So when we understand that, if we understand time, we can understand life, we can understand existence. And of the three, the easiest to understand is time. Because basically, time can be divided into just three: past, present, and future. And that covers the whole spectrum of time. All time are within that. And this time that we are talking about is the psychological time. When mundane mind arise, thought and thinking arise, psychological time arise. This is different from the physical time that the scientist has created for their own measurement. The physical time is a movement in space and time relative to something that they adopt, like our earthly time. The scientist has adopted a day as 24 hours. And that is the time taken for our Earth, the planet, to go one rotation. Yeah. That's why you have day and night. Yeah. We rotate on the axis, which is at the moment 67.5 degrees tilted towards the right. Then we spin. But as we spin, the planet also moves through space and time to actually circulate the sun. Because of gravity, the centripetal force that holds the circular motion in place, the planet will move on this path very consistently. That's why every year, a year is the time taken for our planet to go one complete circle around the sun. That is a solar year. Then we have the other one, where we calculate based on the lunar year. The lunar year is how the moon circulates around our planet. So this one, one circle, we call it a month. Then the lunar month, as we all know, the Chinese actually did a lot of observation. So they come out with the lunar month. But they realize the lunar month is not as accurate as a solar month, because the lunar month, that 12 month in a year, is actually less than a solar year. So because of that, the season after a few years, it doesn't match with the solar month. Whereas the solar month against the sun with the earth on an axis spinning or rotating, the season can be predicted quite accurately. But because of the mismatch, the Chinese civilization has developed all this understanding. They compensated it for it. So every 4 years, there is one month that they call Jun Gui, or they extend that year to 13 months to fill in the gap. It's just like the British solar year. They realize it's 365 and a quarter day to go around. So quarter is a fraction. So they wait for 4 years to complete that 1 year and call that the leap year, where they add in February 29. All the other years only February 28. So February 29 was added. So these are fiscal time. So what we need to understand is time, as developed through the spiritual understanding, is more important than physical time. Your spiritual understanding need to transcend psychological time. Psychological time is mainly the mundane thinking, thought base. When thought arises, psychological time arises. And psychological time being the mundane mind, the thinking mind, it cannot understand that nature within that is responsible for the arising of thought and the mundane thinking. So because of that, to develop the spiritual understanding, we need to silence our mind so that this mundane thinking, the psychological thought process, come to a standstill or cease. When psychological time ceases, then we realize what we call the timeless. Means no thought process, no psychological movement, then the time becomes timeless. Our mind becomes very quiet and very still. That is what we call akaliko, timeless. And to realize that is to realize the true mind. And the Buddha called it the Dhamma. That's why he said the Dhamma is akaliko, timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. Means you need this awareness nature or mindfulness to realize that timeless essence or that mind that is without thought. And this is the basis of the Buddhist teaching. That's why the Dhamma, which is the Buddha's essence, means he teaches Dhamma, which is truth. Truth that defines nature. So there are two, existential truth within the conditioned world and the unconditioned world's truth. So these two realities, you need to realize them then only you can understand life and live life. That's why the three periods of time, when we were to look at it to the awareness, the silent mind, then we realize past and future, these are illusionary time created by the thought. There is no reality. Because these two, past and future, is a concept. It's not a reality. Like we say, the past already gone. No more reality now. You can only recall them through memory, which is the mundane mind, through its thought process, through its accumulated memory or brain. Or sometimes in computerized term, we call it data that we store in the hard disk. Or sometimes to the historian, you archive them so that when you need them, you retrieve them. So this is basically what time is. The past is not a reality. It's already gone. Then similarly, the future has yet to come. So it's still not a reality yet. Because we are talking about future. We are projecting our thought. Oh, tomorrow how? Or in 5 years' time how? In 10 years' time how? Or when people come to know about what I did, what will happen? So all this thought projection created the illusionary time of past and future. That's also the reason why a lot of teaching, they try to teach you not to dwell in the meaningless past and future. It's not a reality. It's just your thought process, your memory. Then it triggers off emotion, especially psychological memory with a lot of very negative emotion. It can trigger off fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow. And of course, sometimes when you recall pleasant events, there are some joy. But most of the time, living beings tend to cling on to and hold on to their scars of memory, their phobia, their insecurity. All of the things that they experience with fear, intense fear, especially phobia, they accumulate. Then when somehow there is condition to recall through memory, this thought actually can project. When it projects into the future, even though it's not a reality yet, it's just the thought creating the projection. There can be tremendous fear, especially human beings who go through life. Fear about what? Fear about dying. Fear about losing your job. Fear about your secret, your psychological secret may be made known. So a lot of fear behind. Then when you project your thought means, although it's not a reality, but this projection can trigger up intense fear, worry, anxiety. Especially you have first noble truth reality problem. Like you have financial problem, health problem. You keep on fearing. What happens if I need to go and see a doctor? What happens if the medical bill is very high? What happens if my loved one come to know about what I have or going through? So all these are your thoughts creating the fear. We are living in the future or recalling the past, scars of memory or phobia. So knowing this, then we should understand clearly that these are illusionary time created by thought. There is no reality. But we live in a conditioned world where duality exists. where people talk about the past and the future. But if you understand how to use it, it can be useful. We can learn from what happened in the past. But basically, it's still knowledge. Because the past, actually, you look at it, never repeat itself. It's always evolving, evolving. But the pattern, the basic ingredient behind is arising and passing away. They have certain characteristic that is always there. But how it unfolds, because of the totality of consciousness of the limitless living beings, it is always evolving. It's a movement, ever new, never old. So all this understanding will lead us to a very important understanding that of the three periods of time, if the past and the future are illusionary time, not a reality, then what about the present moment that we talk about? The present moment is the only reality where everything arises within the moment. And this understanding is very important. If everything we experience or that is happening to the world only arise within the moment, so what must we do? We must be able to be with the moment in pure awareness without thought, to realize the moment, to understand what is going on. Otherwise, we will be lost in thought. Lost in thought means what? Lost in thought means we are thinking, creating psychological time. And what is the meaning of that? It means you are preoccupied with what you are thinking. And when you think, you create emotion, reaction to what you think. Sometimes it can be a fearful thought, an unhappy thought, or a distraction, or whatever. So when you are preoccupied with that, you are lost in it, lost in thought. Then how can you be aware to understand clearly the moment, the reality? But this is the only reality. Moment to moment, life passes by, like I said. What are you doing? You are not able to be mindful, aware, to be with the moment, to understand what is going on in life. Then how can you understand life? Where the whole movement is within the moment. And the difficulty lies in the moment. Because the moment is very transient. Split second is dead and gone. Split second is dead and gone. The moment I talk about the moment is gone. Then the next moment. Then the next moment. So if you be aware and mindful to understand, then we will understand all these are illusion within the conditioned world. That's why we will have the wisdom to understand clearly who are we, what are we, and what is all this movement all about. This is to develop the understanding of truth. Dhamma, the spiritual truth, especially the three spiritual laws, law of karma, law of mind, and law of Dhamma or truth that the Buddha has taught us. So when we can observe clearly to understand all this movement, all this reaction and stirring of the mundane mind, leading to all the mind state that actually arise, especially the psychological reaction, our fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, insecurity, sometimes excitement, of course, is also included, then violence, then deceitfulness, greediness, possessiveness, then our anger, our hatred, our envy, our jealousy, our very strong psychological emotions. So all this is what self-knowledge is all about. Without mindfulness, without awareness, we cannot see. And to see this is not easy. You have to see clearly the mental psychological activity up there. How through the memory, which is a bundle of memories, that actually condition us into what we are. And within this accumulated memory, we hold our knowledge, our views, our opinion, our conditioning, our belief system, our scars of memory, our phobia. Of course, some are our good memories, our pleasure, our good moments, especially when we experience peace during meditative training. And we experience tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. Then the various mind states that are wholesome, beautiful. Of course, there are also negative emotions. That's why Sankhara has 52. Then because of Sakkaya Ditthi, self-delusion, ignorance, we develop the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then from there, we develop deceitfulness, cunningness, violence, possessiveness, craving, desire, authority. Then through the mundane mind, we divide and create conflict, war, by creating words, concept and idea to divide, which we have gone through. Words divide, ideology divide, race. Once you create the word race, it divides already. Religion, it divides again. Gender, it divides again. Nationality, it divides again. Then all the mind right duality, right and wrong, good and bad, virtuous and non-virtuous. So all this lead to a lot of argument, misunderstanding, conflict, war. That's why we have our world, our planet, becoming so chaotic, with so much problem, with so much misunderstanding, conflict all over. Yeah. Even until today, the 21st century, we are still going through all this. So many wars, so many what they call problem with a lot of nation, then nature's disaster, which is also a result of our human consciousness, mainly human consciousness, of course living beings consciousness also, but because of the way we pollute the world, we overuse our resources. We lack compassion, we lack understanding of how to live our life in harmony with nature. So when we lack all this understanding, we cause pollution. We actually destroy nature without us knowing. And man and nature is one. When you destroy nature, nature destroys you. That is what pollution is all about. So the whole world is experiencing a very complex phase. But luckily, I think the consciousness, the spiritual movement, has started to come in to compensate a little bit, but very slow. most of them are still at the thought level, which is not so easy to manage. So when we understand all this, especially the three period of time, if the present moment is the highest in life because it's the only reality, then we must train our mind to be aware, stabilize it to be constantly aware, or what the Buddha called ever mindful. Then use it to develop wisdom, leading to heedfulness. Then according to the Buddha, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are sitting. So this is what life is all about. If you want to understand life, develop the wisdom to have the good life, then you need to train yourself to be heedful, to be aware. That's why we teach you awareness-based meditation so that you can be with the moment to understand clearly who are you, what are you, and to understand clearly what existence, life are, and how they are related to time, especially psychological time. So if these three periods of time are still within existence, not what you think, then through our mindfulness or awareness, we can see even the present moment. They arise and pass away. They come and go very fast. So even the present moment, which is the only reality, is so transient and they just arise and pass away, then how real can life be? Because split second is the end goal. Split second is the, that's why the Buddha called it empty. Empty nature existence. So this word anatta, the meaning is very deep. It's more than just non-self. It says everything is anatta, not only the human being or the living being, the form and mind. Everything is anatta means it is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can grasp onto, cling onto, hold onto, and say, this is me. This is I. Therefore, all these are mine. Why? Because we live in a conditioned world. And this conditioned world is dependent originating, condition arising. That's why we call it a conditioned world. Without condition, nothing arises. Without condition, nothing exists. That's the reason why when the Buddha teach, he said, he always liked to say this particular stanza. He said, whatever arises within the conditioned world, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions behind, he has explained, mainly due to the Pancha Niyama. And the most probable one is the law of karma, karma niyama. So all this is how he developed wisdom and right view to understand life, to understand existence, and to understand the human mind. That's why he realized our mundane mind, the thinking mind that gives rise to psychological thinking, that one has three universal characteristics. It is impermanent, like we came to realize. When you are aware, moment to moment, life passes by. Arise, pass away, arise, pass away. That is what the reality is, moment to moment. That's why it's impermanent. Then you look around, everything is dependent originating, condition arising. Without condition, nothing arises. When condition come together, it arises. Then when condition sustain itself, it continues to exist, but it evolves. Then when conditions cease to be, it ceases to be. That is what the condition was. And they follow a set of law we call nature's law, the Pancha Niyamas, the five universal order. The first two is scientific, Uttu Niyama and Bijya Niyama, the universal order of physical law and the universal order of biological. That one, the scientists are very familiar. They are very good. I mean, because of that, they progress very fast recently. Yeah. So similarly, the Buddha is very good with the three spiritual law: law of karma, karma niyama, law of mind, citta niyama, and law of truth, dhamma niyama. So this is how all this actually arise. Then the Buddha realized, because they are dependent originating, that's why it will lead to suffering. Because when we want things our way, which is not nature's way, suffering will be the result. When you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, you develop suffering, misery, affliction. We are craving is a very strong force. That's why under the second noble truth, the Buddha said, the cause of suffering is craving. When you crave for sensual pleasure, sensual craving, that will lead to suffering. Tanha, kama tanha. Then when you crave to be, bhava tanha, also lead to suffering. Then when you become scared of that state, you don't want, you want to push away, vibhava tanha, craving for non-existent or not to become that, that also leads to suffering. That's why the three types of craving, which cover the whole spectrum of craving, actually is the cause of suffering. So when you understand all this, then you see the universal characteristics of suffering, dukkha. When you crave, when you cling, when you grasp, when you want things your way, when you cannot see things as they are, jnana dasana, to accept the reality of the moment. Because when condition is like that, things will be like that. Like the Buddha said, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind any set. It cannot be otherwise. If you still want things your way, you will become afflicted, miserable. That's why the universal characteristic very clear. From anicca, impermanent, it will lead to dukkha if you deludedly grasp and cling and attach, especially via sakkaya ditti and avijja, ignorant. Then the third characteristics of anatta is also automatic. Because it is dependent originating, how can it be a permanent unchanging entity? We are dependent on condition, it arises, then dependent on condition, it evolves. Then when condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. How can you hold on to it? It's not a permanent unchanging entity. It's just empty, not what you think. Where everything is like my teacher said, only mighty nature rolling by, following nature's law. Everything is just a phenomenon. He know you, he know me. No such delusion. But people cling on to such delusion because they believe you exist. The form and mind is what they are. That's why without mindfulness, without awareness, you cannot see all this, you cannot understand all this. That's the reason why the Buddha is so wise. Through his mindfulness, his awareness, he awakened to the universal characteristic. Because within the conditioned world, everything is dependent originating, condition arising. Just like what the Diamond Sutta actually summarized the profound understanding of empty nature existence. The Diamond Sutta came out with these stanzas. He said, 一切有为法，如梦幻泡影，如露亦如电，应作如是观. And this four stanza is very beautiful and very powerful if you understand them, if you can awaken to them. So what is the meaning of the first stanza? 一切有为法. The meaning is everything within the conditioned world are conditioned dhamma. That powerful phrase, when you understand, you penetrate. So what are conditioned dhamma? Not so real. The second stanza explaining, Zu mong huan pao ying. Mong is dreamlike. One is an illusion. Illusionary one. How? It's like a bubble. Like your feeling, sensation, the energy, bubble, pop, gone, pop, gone. Moment to moment, arise and pass away. Then last one, yi, is shadow. So, if all of conditioned Dhamma is like that, then why do you deludedly grasp and cling? And the third stanza make it even clearer. Zulu ilu tian, like a morning dew and a lightning flash. Sometimes it's very fast, it's gone. Then some phenomena take longer. But it's like the morning dew. When the condition no more, it ceases. It's just gone. The last stanza is to teach you how to cultivate. Yin zuo lu shi guan. This is how you should contemplate it. So if you can contemplate it and develop the understanding that it matches perfectly well with what the Buddha is teaching us. The three universal characteristics and the three periods of time, the unreality, the illusionary time that I have taught you, and the present moment awareness, the mindfulness. So all this is what Dhamma is, what the teaching is. If you can understand all this, it will help you. It will awaken your nature. Yeah. And then we now go back to the Lotus Sutta and you will understand the meaning profoundly. So here, one of right and universal knowledge under this section, Xuanhua explained. He said, right knowledge or right understanding refers to the understanding that the mind give rise to the mind right phenomena. So this one is what mind? Yeah? This one is your? What mind is that? Your mundane mind, isn't it? Mano, because this is the one that create the thinking. That's why mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. And this one creates, when mind arrive, all things arise, the mind right phenomena arise. So universal knowledge refer to the universal understanding or universal wisdom, that this mind right phenomena, which is part of our phenomenal world, arises from that mind. And that mind is the mundane mind. Whereas the true mind is the main entity behind that is responsible for its arising. That's why to meditate is to realize that true mind and see clearly how this mundane mind create and develop the movement to give rise to the phenomenal world of consciousness. And like the Buddha explained under his analogy, consciousness is like a magician. And a magician is an illusionist. So it creates magic and illusion for you to see. So the phenomenal world of consciousness, which is our existential world, is just a phenomenal world of consciousness. Only the moment-to-moment consciousness. That's why here he said, in the absence of mind, what is the use of Dhamma? And the sentence is very powerful. So under the later part, I read on, then you understand. So universal knowledge refers to the understanding that the mind right phenomena arise from that mundane mind, which is a product of our true mind. Then it is said, this stanza, you listen. The Buddha taught all Dhamma in response to what? Mind is a living being. If there is no living being, there is no reason for the Buddha to arise. That in the absence of mind, what is the use of Dhamma? Understand? But there is no, what they call mind, to create all these phenomena and get the living being, Leo, into it and entangle into it via delusion. Then there is no need for Dhamma to take them out. or to free them from the phenomenal world of consciousness. So this is what the teaching is all about. And this is the purpose for the coming of the Buddha and all the great beings, to teach living beings all this understanding so that you can liberate from suffering, so that you can free your mind to liberate it above that delusion. So to transcend life is to transcend even the moment. We have the present moment, although the highest in life is the only reality, but it is still within existence. So to transcend life, we are talking about enlightenment in the here and the now, so that there is no more rebirth. So to transcend life, you must even transcend the present moment. Because at present moment is still within existence. That's why you must realize the cessation of form and mind. Even the present moment, the pure awareness also must cease. That's why Nibbana is the enlightenment that enlightened being realized. And Nibbana is complete cessation of form and mind. There is nothing you can talk about. When the mundane mind realizes itself and cease, that's how Nibbana can be realized. And Nibbana is not a place, not a thing. You cannot talk about it. It's just the mundane mind that realizes itself with the wisdom, it sees, completely sees. And because it sees, that wisdom that is connected to the being that goes through that cessation, when it come out, you understand. And because you understand, there will be no more avijja at the moment of death. So rebirth consciousness due to avijja or ignorance, no more. That's why it will transcend birth and death. Rebirth consciousness via avijja, no more. So the segmented life ends. Means you no need to come back and be born again through ignorance. But the bodhisattva is different. They have their vows. They have the wisdom and the understanding. And they understand how to arise the pure thought. Out of love and compassion, they vow to liberate the limitless living being, to fulfill all the four basic vows of a bodhisattva and all the other vows. And because of that, they can still come without ignorance, without avijja. So our love and compassion is a pure thought, a pure mind. But you need a karmic nature, which they also have before they become arahant. So that karmic nature together with the pure thought, love and compassion, it can still condition a form and mind to arise. That's how they take birth. But that one is not true avijja, no ignorance in all. So this is the understanding, okay? So in the absence of mind, what use would Dhamma be? So this particular, we call it like a poem developed by Xuanhua, is really beautiful. So the Buddha taught all Dhamma in response to mind of living being. So in the absence of mind of living being, what use would the Dhamma be? So hopefully, with this, you can develop understanding. Then I will continue a bit more. One of perfect clarity and conduct. So this is the other characteristic that is peculiar with the Buddha. So here, clarity refers to the Buddha's brilliance, means his perfection of wisdom. Then here, conduct. He not only have clarity of wisdom and conduct, he perfected them. In the perfect clarity and the perfect conduct, is it? So here means the wisdom, clarity. He has the wisdom. He is very clear about things. Then conduct means refer to the strength of his cultivation. He has that wisdom, virtue, blessing, and understanding that enable him to conduct himself very well. Because the Buddha is perfect in both wisdom and cultivation. So cultivation refer to virtue. That's why in the Mahayana they always say, Fu Hui Suang Xiu. Fu is Fu Bao. Hui is wisdom, Zi Hui. So Fu Hui Suang Xiu. So you need to perfect both the cultivation of wisdom and virtue. That's why he is called one of perfect clarity and conduct, or what we call in the Theravada tradition, I think, the knower of the world. That's why the nine great virtues of the Buddha, they are very exceptional. Then Sugato or Sugata. Oh, so sorry, this is the one, knower of the world. So if you go through the salutation to the Dhamma, you will understand. Like we chant, you turn to the chanting book. Okay, I will read through so that you understand. So, salutation to the Buddha. Ittipeso Bhagava. The meaning is such indeed is the blessed one, means the Buddha. He is an arahant, is arahant, the worthy one. Then Sammasambuddha, the fully enlightened one. Vijja Charana Sampannoha, this one is the one, endowed with wisdom and virtue. This is the section that we are going to continue our sharing. Then the next one is Sugato. Yes. Sugato means the accomplished one. So Sugato here means he knows everything. Whatever that can be known, he has developed the understanding. So Sugata is translated as one who goes well, meaning the Buddha has gone to a good place. As knower of the world, he understands everything within the world. There is no phenomena, be it mundane or transcendental, that he doesn't understand. Then the next one is Lokavido. Lokavido is knower of the world. Knower of the world. Sugato is accomplished one. So knower of the world is also very powerful. Means okay, wait, I read through the whole thing first. Then after Lokavido is Anuttaro, Purisa Dhammasarati, an incomparable master or guide of those to be trained. Then teacher of men and God, Satta Deva Manusana, then Buddha Bhagavati, the enlightened one, the blessed one, the perfect, fully enlightened one. Okay? So now I will read through Sugato once again. Sugato or Sugata is translated as one who goes well, meaning the Buddha has gone to a good place. As knower of the world, he understands everything in the world. There is no phenomena, be it mundane or supramundane, that he doesn't understand. Then the unsurpassed one or knower of the world. Only a Buddha can be called the unsurpassed one. Other living beings cannot. Bodhisattvas are called great beings or great ones, and also are also as surpassed ones. Buddhas are unsurpassed one, for no one is above him. Means he is the highest. Then the next one is they use the word subducing and regulating hero to subduce and regulate is akin to driving a car in a certain direction. To drive a car, you have to turn the steering wheel. Driving is similar to subducing and regulating. In northern China, they have horse chariots that are driven by people. Driver cracks the whip and the horse move forward. To subduce and regulate is also similar to driving a horse car. The Buddha is a great hero who subdues and regulates those in the tree rhyme. The rhyme of desire, which is Kamaloka, the rhyme of form, Rupaloka, and the rhyme of the formless, Arupa Loka. But here the translation is not so good or so accurate. The Theravada tradition one is better. Eh? So, incomparable master or guide to train people that need to be trained. Means, if you want to develop understanding, awakening, enlightenment, then he is the best. Then the next one is Satta Deva Manusanam. This one is teacher of man and God. Means the Buddha is a teacher of both. The men, the beings in the heaven, means the gods, and the people on earth. So this characteristic, or what they call virtue of the Buddha, the nine great virtues, Sammasambuddha, is very unique. They are all very unique virtue and very powerful. And of course, finally, he is the Buddha. He has perfected all kinds of awakening. Means here the Mahayana subdivide into the three basic kind of awakening. Self-awakening, then the awakening of others, and the perfection of self-awakening and of practices. So it is having perfected the three kind of awakening and accomplished the mind right virtue. One is called the Buddha, the fully enlightened one. So this one, I have to explain a bit more. Self-awakening means like the sainthood way. They realize the enlightenment and awaken to the way. But they don't take the bodhisattva way to vow to awaken others. So the second type of awakening is, apart from self-awakening, they undertake the bodhisattva way to awaken others. Then after that, they perfect themselves, yeah, to develop the perfection of the 10 paramitas to become the fully enlightened one. Means they perfected everything that can be perfected. That's why it's called perfection of the self-awakening, the possibility of self-awakening to the highest, which is Sammasambuddhahood. Then finally is the world honor one. The Buddha is honored both in the world and beyond. So that's why we have this Buddha Bhagavate. So all these are the nine great virtues. Okay, I think we stop here. Can we mark this page? Page 37. Okay.
Okay, we now come back to our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever Dhamma question that you may have. This is a Q&A session where Dhamma will be discussed. And also we can review today's sharing. You can add or share whatever you want. And finally is, of course, Dhamma in daily life, that any of us, Kayamita, who has gone through the cultivation in life, to experience them in the way you have developed through your cultivation, you can also share. And all this sharing are very useful, helpful. Sometimes it can give rise to faith, motivate and encourage others, especially Kayamita, to diligently develop the faith and the understanding to walk this path of Dhamma. Okay, now you open up. Huh?
Brother Teo, Mr. Teo, and brother and sister in Dhamma. Good
sorry.
Evening.
Yeah, good evening.
Sorry, I was late. I just came.
Oh, no problem. Then means you didn't hear most of it. Today, when the sharing is quite good, you should listen to it. I explain quite a lot of understanding regarding the true mind, the mundane mind, and how it developed the creation. All of the mind right phenomena within our phenomenal world of consciousness, how they all arise. And this is all linked to the teaching. That's why the great beings and the Samasambuddha, they have this understanding. That's why they can explain all this. Whereas for normal cultivator of the way, especially the sinful way, they are not able to do that unless they have very exceptional past.
Maybe I would just like to share my previous meditation experience last week. I've been practicing slowly, I think over since 2018 until now. Progressing a little bit by little bit.
Hey, not bad. You develop a lot of understanding. And your progress come with application. You apply that well. And you can develop the ability to understand and put it into real life cultivation, which is very beautiful. To me, it's already a great progress, able to witness the Dhamma unfolding.
So last week when I was here in the class, so the meditation experience was quite easy.
You settled down very fast.
And then as I came from work, I was very busy. So the mind was full
the sankara,
of
full of sankara. The the thought activity from the job site.
So then when I sat down, and then I sat at the couch, and I started to slow down.
Relax.
I think the first part was relax.
Maintain awareness. Then the sankara will slow down. Then you will witness them. Then how they become very quiet. Then you realize that is what my activity is all about. If I don't feed it with any more deluded thinking, emotion, if I don't stir it and make it active again, then it will slow down. Slow down. Like J. Krishnamurti say, the very flowering of those activity of mind is the very ending of his activity. The very flowering of thought is the ending of the thought. Means the thought is energy based, thought based. So this one is carried, become alive because of that willpower, the content of consciousness inside. Once you relax and let things be, then there is no more energy to feed to all this thought. Then it will dissipate. The word dissipate is very beautiful. Like the flower, when it flower until it cannot flower, what happens? It wither. Withering is like it slowly, slowly wither. But as a thought, it dissipates, like it becomes less and less and less and less until finally no more.
So as I settled down and there was slowly, slowly relax and slowly.
Sadhu.
There's no more thought.
Yeah, sadhu. Very good.
And then suddenly there's something I don't know how to explain. It was like nothing. Like nothing.
Correct. That is the nature of that true mind. That true mind had nothing. Why? Because inside there, no thought. No aggregates of mind. Nothing. That's why I say, contemplate and reflect later on when you come out. Without thought, who are you? Especially when you have the stability of awareness already, then at that moment when you contemplate, you just go into that state, you will suddenly awaken to that amazing understanding. You realize inside there, if the thought don't arise, there is nothing inside there, like you mentioned. Nothing. Completely nothing. The egoic mind not there.
The thought not there. No duality, no concept, no idea, nothing. It's just nothing. That's why you are nothing. You are nobody. And that one is not a being. That one is just an awareness nature. It's just aware. You don't have anything. But it's just that nature, like our karmic nature. You cannot say that that karmic nature can come out and live. No, the coming nature cannot. That nature is the nature, and the summation of everything become your nature. So our this nature is more powerful than that. But this is the original nature. So there are three. One is the coming nature, summation of all our coming moments, means your whatever moral causation, they sum up life after life, and the whole thing become the coming nature. Then the spiritual nature is when you develop the understanding, then you cultivate the spiritual understanding, it will accumulate as a spiritual nature. We call it the Sambhogaya Kaya. Then after that, we have another nature inside, which is the original nature, the primordial. Original. Everybody has that. That was the original nature before anything arises. From there, everything arises. There's some call it the source. And the scientists call it the singularity. Yeah, the singularity is the point from where everything starts. They believe in the Big Bang Theory. From that singularity, the Big Bang Theory created the expanding universe. Everything comes into being. So it's like understanding the black hole. The black hole is a result of a very intense, what they call dense, accumulated mass, or some produce it as mass, accumulated mass. And this, what we call gravity inside there, because it is so dense, until the escape velocity exceeds the speed of light. Well, every planet or sun, like our Earth, we had an escape velocity. You know, to escape from the gravitational pull of our planet Earth, we need to hit 5,000 miles per second. Not per hour. No. The flight you take, 500 over kilometer is per hour. No. And kilometer is shorter than mile. This one is 5,000 miles per second. You can fly so fast. And then you can get out of the gravitational pull. That's how the scientists know how to develop rocket technology with the propulsion, with the liquid fuel and all those things, and create that thrust that can accelerate their speed to that speed, 5,000 miles per second. And then they realize once you hit that speed, you actually gain freedom from the gravitational influence of the planet. And 5,000 compared to the speed of light, which is 1,870,000 miles per second. So I better write it up. Escape velocity. This one only science student can understand. Escape velocity. So for Earth to escape from the gravitational influence of the Earth, we need 5,000 miles per second. Speed of light. Equal 187,000 miles per second. You have to hit this speed, then only even light also cannot escape. Understand? Huh? If light cannot escape, means what? That's why they call it a black hole. Everything that goes near it get sucked into it. And they believe that black hole when it accumulates all the muscles and likes and everything, this one is a scientific term, black hole. This one, as they accumulate, it will become very, very dense and very, very powerful until it hits that density that they call it. Ultimately, it starts all over again, like the Big Bang or the singularity. From there, it bursts the expanding universe and started the creation again. That's like the four stages of formation of life and planet and star system. They come from all this. So initially, it's the Big Bang or the starting. From that source, singularity, everything starts all over again. Then expanding is a growth phase. Then after that, all these things that they throw out, they will form the planet, the star system. But this one is very, very powerful and intense. And most of it is in the form of light rays. And also, of course, there are a lot of what they call, just like physics, it actually, through that the Big Bang, it created a lot of gaseous things. Then all the elements, everything, or they call it the space dust. That is how all the planets receive, even our Earth, we receive all this. Then it accumulate and store up and become planets. Then the star that collapse and become the what they call, sometimes they merge together and form a very big galaxy. Then all this actually starts to circulate them. Then they have the four phases: birth, growth, decay, and finally the whole thing like get destroyed. You know how it get destroyed, right? Finally, the star, this star, but it's still a long time to go. You don't worry. Many, many, maybe millions and millions of light years. A long, long time. But this star, actually the energy, they were finally radiated until no more. Then you know what happened or not. It will collapse. It will collapse. Then it will emit a very powerful, what they call, search. They call it the supernova. The scientists has actually, through the Hubble telescope and many of these telescopes, actually detected all this, the supernova. It collapsed and become a black hole. Then during that time, all the planets all absorb in, suck in, completely suck in. Light also cannot escape. How can all your other things escape? Then sometimes this supernova, it can merge with another one at the side. Then sometimes there can be multiple of them. So all this, if you are interested in science, you can go and read about it, because the understanding of it has actually come about quite recently. And a lot of these things, if you were to look back, you should actually salute the scientists, the marvel of science. Because when I was young, I remember during the early 60s, I went to school in 1966. Then I graduated in 79. So those years of education was very good, surprisingly, because we were lucky to have the British education. So this one actually allowed me to read up a lot. That time, I liked all this scientific thing. When I was studying engineering in MU, I bought a lot of this type of book that is non-engineering, and I like to read. And a lot of things, when you read them, even at that time, although they are not so advanced, but the way they evolve, the understanding of science, to look at creation, to look at existence, it was amazingly beautiful. They come up with a lot of hypothesis. Then they later develop it into theory. Then they realize a law only become true under certain limited condition. When they tend towards the speed of light, they realize a lot of the Newtonian mechanics all collapse. It no longer works that way. That's why when Einstein came out with the great discovery, the theory of relativity, it revolutionized the understanding of what our universe is. That's why all the follow-up of what possibility of creation come, all the hypothesis, the various type of postulation and all those things, then they write scientific paper, they share paper, then from whatever that is written, a lot of them will go and read, then they go and do R&D research and all those things. And all these are very interesting. That's why sometimes in my astro also, there were this channel about the physicists, they talk about this thing, how they discover the new, the latest discovery. The Hubble telescope already considered obsolete. Now the China one, that one is the most advanced one and the biggest. And they develop a lot of understanding. So quite a lot of this information, sometimes if you have access to it, especially now with the internet, you can get it. And I remember I saw it many years back, even on our astro, that there are these channels that used to appear. That's why all this is because when I was a science student, I'm very good in physics. And all this I already knew in Form 5, 1971. All this understanding. And surprisingly, this physical law understanding within the limited speed, below the speed of light, is still valid. And at that time, they also know about the speed of light, the measurement, everything, and how they calculate. Then my physics teacher also used to share with me that what he learned in the university. And when he is a science student, he specialized in physics. He said, he told us, he said, the speed of light is actually the absolute, the only absolute unit in our condition world. Means within the condition world, which I believe he is talking about the psychological time, the thought process. He said, this is the fastest entity that you can achieve. You cannot go beyond that one. Then they realize when they accelerate through the atomic particle accelerator, when they accelerate, two particles, even they accelerate to near the speed of light, you know what is the relative velocity? Normally, you travel at near the speed of light, the other fellow travel at near, it's twice the speed one, relative. But cannot one know, is it? The speed of light is the absolute. Both traveling at near the speed of light, the relative velocity is still the speed of light. It's because there is a fourth dimension. You know what is the fourth dimension? Time is a fourth dimension. So time actually influences speed. So they realize time has a formula, square root of 1 minus your speed over the speed of light. So this C is your speed of light. The whole thing square. So what happens if your speed tends towards the speed of light? This one is speed of light. When your speed tends towards the speed of light, means it's almost C. C over C is almost 1. That's why time comes to a standstill. You understand or not? When you travel at the speed of light, the scientists know you never age. And they put the clock inside there. When you travel at high speed, actually the clock time is like arrested, slower. Even at the speed that is not near the speed of light, they realize once this figure, let's say, reach half the speed of light, which is very difficult, but in space, they can do it. But in space, no resistance, nothing. Actually, with a little bit of momentum, it can go very fast. So if it's 0.5, C over C, square of it is 0.25. So 1 minus 0.25 become 0.75. Square root of 0.75 is 0.75 is 0.8 or 0.8 something. 0.8 something. This time is slowed down by about 15%. So all this you can calculate. So when the speed is near the speed of light, that's why I say 1 minus 1, 0, this is the timeless. That's why this speed of light is absolute. And a lot of things were discovered, actually. And those who study maths also got a lot of very fantastic mathematical models. That's why nature is very unique, very amazing. Even that scientific word pi, 22 over 7, you realize, you go and calculate, the decimal point never ends. And that empirical formula pi is related to a lot of things. The circumference of a circle, you need pi. Then the pyramid, all those things to calculate the volume and all things, you need pi. That pi is very, very unique. Then you got complex number. All these are very interesting. At that time when I was studying in the uni, I was really absorbed into it because I realized it's so marvelous. It's the marvel of nature. Then later on when I developed the scientific understanding, the spiritual understanding, I can relate and understand all this. That's why it's very amazingly beautiful. Okay, Carlos, you better continue. Sorry to take you off a bit. Those who don't understand science may not appreciate.
Actually, this is what I want to share a little bit.
Oh, good,
which
good,
is
good.
Time. Because when I meditate the time, when you ring the bell, I felt like it's only like 10
minutes. Like very short.
30 minutes.
Yeah, it's already 30
it's minutes. So that was what I wanted to share is time.
Time. Yeah, it's relative.
Which is what you're sharing now.
When you are in that state of without thought, actually you experience like time doesn't really exist. There's no psychological movement. No thought arise. So when you are inside there, suddenly the bell ring, you come out, you thought it's only a short moment. But actually it's very long. It's just like the first day I reached the university, first time I meditated, remember I told you? I went into that mind state, which is the formless rhyme, infinite space. Because I went into that, to me, it's just at the most half an hour, the whole session, at the most I spent half an hour. But when I looked at my watch, I was 4 hours inside there. And that was the first time I did meditation. I don't know what meditation is. But I just know how to relax and cross my leg. Then I went into that. Then I come out. 4 hours of one and one. My mind is so calm, so still. In that state, I remember 4 or 5 days after that, it was with me. Like, perfectly still, calm, tranquil. Wow. At first I thought, that's what meditation is. That's why I actually continue to develop. Actually, I went into absorption. That's why later on I reversed it out. Because the mind went in too strong. I was absorbed into that nature. Then when I give it a push, that bright spot, I went into the formless rhyme.
And the formulas, right, the mind state is very, very amazing. But it's all not mindfulness type. So you can experience it, find out about it, but no need to do virtually, no need to do. So what is important is to develop this awareness. So when you are aware inside, when you can be in that like timeless space, tranquil and still, time like pass by very slowly. It's just like, to you, it's just not long. But when you come out of here, oh, 30 minutes has passed. Huh? Like my case, 4 hours have passed. That's why Einstein realized time is relative. Yeah. It's not to say that we are at the speed of light, then time appears like that. No, because when you are in the timeless, you don't talk about the worldly speed. No? When we are in that awareness nature, that's the reason why, as a science student, I knew. If our universe is so immense, we are talking about 15,000 light years now. Means for light to travel for 15,000 light years, you travel at the speed of light, it takes you 15,000 light years now. Means that the speed of light you travel at the speed of light for 1 year, there is 1 light year. So 15,000 light years, you know how long that thing is. If there is the fastest moving entity, then make one phone call. You know, take how long to reach there. 15,000 light years, that is very long. Then by the time they reply, you will say, no more here, it's gone already. Our universe all may be changed already. So impossible to interact, isn't it? To develop understanding, isn't it? That's why that missing link is the awareness nature. The awareness nature is the one that can travel beyond the speed of light. This one is like what they call the science fiction. Sometimes you see all this Stargate, where you can travel forward and backward in time. So they call it the Stargate. You open up the no, they got a lot of name, a lot of hypothesis for it. How you can actually go in and decide to come out which year of the time and where, or which particular part of the universe. So all these are the science fiction that they're trying to say. But the real one is, I don't think there can be such thing as time travel to go back and change things. That one is impossible. Impossible. Because the conditioned world is already like that. You go back and change that time, no use. Because the entity that go is not that period on the sana. It cannot influence those happenings. So what could happen is, that nature, if you know how to use it, then you can use it to develop the ability to manifest. That's why when I meditate, I realize when I went into the oneness, like very, very distant, or very, very far away happening, how come my awareness nature can be vivid? It's like the whole thing, oneness with my nature. Then if I want to know, I can know. Then it just come back very fast. Even at the speed of light, it may take very long, because it's very far. The entity is very far. You are like in that whole oneness. Then a lot of things, the awareness nature is capable of understanding and developing, which the thought cannot understand. But that is the one that is beyond thought, beyond mind. And that is the primordial, or what we call the original nature, or true nature, the source from where everything arises. So when you cease everything and able to access that, then when you come out of it, you can develop a lot. So I believe the Sammasambuddha, they have all this understanding if they went into that nature and developed it and perfected it. And when they inherit,
They have all this understanding. That's why they can, 3 period of time, they can move very fast. If they want to know anything, they know already. Then, I don't know whether I should share with you. This one, I think also, I'm not sure. One of the guide told me, one of the guide that guided me, he said, in their universe, where they are very advanced, they like got a universal library, you know, where you want to know anything from that nature, you can connect on. That is like internet, you know, you can get all the information. It's stored somewhere, but you must know how to access it. I don't know if it's whether science fiction or what, but I don't think he would like to be. Yeah, if it's not possible, he will not say it. So there are a lot of things that as a human being through the thought process, we cannot understand. But when you go into this awareness, nature, meditation, and develop it, you will come to realize all these are no more fairy tale. They are possible. But that nature is, like I explained to you and share with you, is very powerful. It's completely beyond the comprehension of living beings' thought process and mind. But that nature is capable of a lot of things. Although it's not a thing, cannot come out and live life, but you can assess it and meditate and develop the understanding. And the understanding of it is fantastic. And the experience that manifests from it is fantastic. So this is the missing link where the scientists cannot actually account for. Where they don't know how to assess this awareness. They don't know how to meditate through the awareness. So use thought-based, you cannot assess it, you cannot understand it. So this is the one, very likely, I believe, is the one that can account for the black, they call it the dark matter, that is missing in the universe, where scientists now, they can calculate, you know, but somehow a lot of the masses within the universe are missing, you know, and they call this dark matter, cannot be observed. Yes, speed of light also cannot escape. So you cannot see with the telescope and all those things, and you cannot account for them, you cannot measure them. So they leave it at that. They call it the dark matter, whatever it is. All this will evolve and become, maybe in years to come, more and more understanding can come out of it. So that is the reason why the Heart Sutta is very beautiful. When you realize through emptiness, when you assess the nature, develop the understanding, then life in the universe becomes wonderful, really wonderful, amazingly wonderful. Okay, sorry, 3 more minutes.
Okay, so I also like to take the opportunity to thank you, Brother Teo, because it's only from learning how to meditate.
Yeah,
I also be able to train
access
my
all
mind,
this.
My mind, who is always a lot of sankhara. So it helped me to calm down
and
be present.
Settle down and be with the present moment more and more.
And
more and more.
At that time, I can see things more clearly.
Yeah, more clearly. You are not clouded. Then the fear, worry, anxiety, which you know are wrong thought that condition your suffering and negativity, you know how to actually make peace with it. And it will not affect you. You know it's useless.
Yes.
This is sankhara anicchang, sankhara dukkang. Then you will not cling, you will not hold. Then duality all will not affect you. You understand them very clearly. The world is the world. Living beings are just the way they are. Thing is just the way it is. So from all this, you become more peaceful, more tranquil, less reactive. Less problem. There are a lot of things no need to think really. Worry also like that. Don't worry also like that. Why you want to keep on holding it in the thought and carry it to bring about the suffering, the affliction, the misery? What for? So this understanding will give you more space between thought, more clarity, more understanding. Then you understand not only yourself. When you understand yourself, you understand others. Then when you understand others, you understand the world.
Very good, Sadhu.
Yes, and I also have used that to help me to apply in understanding relationship
relationship,
and problem solving at
yeah,
work.
that one very
So
important, yeah.
yes, meditation is very helpful.
Yeah, very helpful,
Yes,
yeah.
so thank you very much, and
Thank
I
you.
also aspire hopefully one day I can be able to connect with my
Then
one
your
day
true nature
and
inside.
understand who am I, what am
Anyway,
I.
all Kaya Mita can, because this is the golden window. And a lot of things has manifested, no, actually, through all the sharing. In fact, the book that we are going to print and the next one, these two are the initial part of the transformation or shift in Kaya Mita's consciousness to understand the deeper aspect of the Mahayana teaching, the Supreme Vehicle teaching. So when these two books come out, read it, develop the understanding of it. It's a lot of things. And this is just the beginning of that movement. No? After this, a lot of the sharing will become different again. Even today, I explained the three type of time, very different already. Where I can cover more aspects that you have developed as understanding to explain it. Very good, Sadhu.
Yeah, and then the last one I want to share is also thank you all fellow Karamitas for their sharing, especially on Sunday. Fellow MP. I'm aware, I was happy to hear that.
Sadhu,
so hopefully
Sadhu.
One day can be like
That's why the recent sharing are very beautiful. Let's rejoice. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Very good.
Hello, Brother.
Yeah,
and sure. 我拿2分钟
no problem.
就
five minutes.
今天的 sharing 真的是让我整个人，好像从梦中醒来。
哇塞！
因为，
yeah.
我刚才听 Brad 就讲那个所谓的那个 mind 的那个 manifestation
啊、
那个
mind right phenomenon
phenomenon 怎样的 manifest 全部。真的是我突然间知道怎样的那个十二因缘，所谓的那个全部就其实就是我们在梦中，在颠倒
啊，颠倒，
所以
梦想啊，
所以我的 deep inside 我的 nature 我一直在流泪，因为知道这个全部都是梦幻，
对，
这个、所有的一切。所以我很感恩 Brad 就今天的 lesson 应该要重听，真的很多的 essence， 因为他真的很清楚的 explain， 就 explain 得很清楚。
对，
我们这个 mind 怎样 manifest， you know，
对对对，
我们 fall into delusion， just because of 一个 ignorant thought。
嗯，
啊，感恩 Brad 就，
感恩
大家
，Let us rejoice， 萨。So all these are the causes and conditions. That's why last Sunday, my nature realized that topic about the six patriarch platform sutta is so beautiful. It can bring about a lot of beautiful sharing that can give faith and understanding to many Kayamita. That's why I decided to cancel the 45 minutes of meditation and use it for Dhamma discussion and sharing. And it turned out to be really beautiful. And we covered a lot of things. That six patriarch platform sutta, now you realize after I really share with the deep understanding behind the Ming canon version. In the early days, I cannot share all those because you all haven't reached the level or ability to understand. So I just mentioned a bit and skip through. But last Sunday, I was able to go in and explain to you all this about that nature, everything. So the person who wrote this Six Patriarch Platform Sutta has the understanding and the wisdom. Otherwise, he cannot write like that. Very concise and precise. Oh, that is the word, no. I saw a lot of versions, none of them is even close to it. But this one, when I located it, I was so amazed. How come somebody can write so clearly and so accurately and so concisely. That's why I put it into the email. Then I sent out for sharing. Then when we did the sharing, then this one, they actually compile into short notes. Because Miss Lee also interested in the Six Pay Theory. Then he sent the short notes to me. Then I edited it. Because I have the actual main canon version. So when I edited it, it was very easy because the whole thing was there. Then my understanding was there. That's why at that time, all this already there. But how can I share? Because when at the retreat, we only got 8 days or 9 days. So all these are like not possible until the causes and conditions are there. That's why recently, because of MCO, blessing in this guy, then now, after the MCO over, the Zoom has taken over and become so easy for us to do it. So when we continue with the Zoom, means I can continue the sharing over 8 months like last time. Maybe this time takes longer time. It may end up 10 or 12 months because I able to elaborate more things now. So with all this sharing, the understanding of cultivator of the way, especially Kayamita, who has the faith and the understanding and the sincerity and diligence to go this way, just like what Song went through. And a lot of Kayamita nowadays, you listen to all this sharing again, it really awakens your nature inside one and motivate you one. And it's just like how I share all this scientific understanding. So the time when I was studying it, I love it so much. It allowed me to understand so much thing that is way beyond normal people's ability to understand. And at that time, after Form 5, Form 6, went to uni, the uni year, I spent a lot of time reading up this one. I went to a library and borrowed the book and I read. In fact, engineering book, I bought less. Philosophy book, I bought more. So all this understanding came from my past. Then I can understand them and relate to them. And all these are interconnected. You go into the spiritual field, you have to understand science. Otherwise, you cannot cope up with the understanding of what existential the universe is going through. And the possibility of higher intelligence and all things, other world system and all things, impossible. And only through all this, it developed the condition for you to have that possibility to understand all this. That's why I look back, very strange, like this time I come, I'm destined to be an engineer, and I want to be a civil engineer. Because this is the field that I can relate to many things in existence and life. No? We are civil engineers, design almost everything. No? In fact, even the mechanical engineer do what also I know. The chemical engineering do what also I know. And we can actually develop them, especially the electrical side. All these are fantastic discovery and understanding that can revolutionize your understanding of life and existence. And when you meditate with a spiritual understanding, you have to combine the wisdom of the unconditioned and the conditioned world. Then the whole creation and manifestation can be understood. That's the reason why the Bodhisattva way is so beautiful, where it takes very long. And you've got a lot of time to develop all this understanding. Then the miscellaneous vow, the additional vow that my nature developed. My nature want to do a lot of things that normal people or normal time cultivator cannot do. You want to explore a lot of things. Because this is what wonderful existence is. And a lot of these things, if I don't share, the world will not know about it. Okay, we better stop.
Sa.
I think exceeded. almost 9 minutes. Let us now share merit. Aka Sata Jebumata Deva Naga Mahitika Punyantang Anamoditwa Kiran Rakan Tuloka Sasana Ita Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampada Sampi Deva Anamodantu
Sapasapati
Sidiya Bidang Menya Tidang Hortu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Bidang Menya Tidang Hortu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Bidang Menya Tidang Hortu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Deo Asadukalena Sasa Sampati Hetu Cya Vito Bhavatu Loko Cya Raja Bhavatu Dhammiko Inna punyang kamena mame tang samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawang nibbana pattiya sa. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we will end the whole Zoom session. Yeah?